Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and Pastors Richard and Helen Kabakian can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
I was watching on YouTube the other day. I do this a little bit in that you can get some very interesting stuff on YouTube. And I was watching on YouTube and there was this guy that was painting, and he started painting this picture on this canvas of Jesus' death and on Calvary, and he painted the cross, and he was painting all this stuff, and I was like, oh, okay, that's all right. And I was trying to watch it just to see what was so special about it, because it had so many hits on this clip, and I'm saying, what is so special about it? I'm looking at him paint and go, yeah, it's all right. It's like, it's nothing I would see hanging in a museum anywhere. It was fantastic. It was okay. And he was painting this thing, and then he starts, what he'd painted, he starts rubbing over and starts smudging all the stuff that he had just painted. And then he starts doing other stuff to it. And I thought, maybe it's abstract art. You know, I'm not really too good with that stuff. Maybe I don't understand what he's doing. And then he takes a step back from his canvas and he looks at it almost like, I'm finished. And I'm there looking at it going, really? You're done? That doesn't look done to me. And then he takes the canvas and he turns it upside down. And as he turns it upside down, there's this amazing portrait of Jesus' face. And I'm just going, wow. And as I was praying about my message today, and as I was preparing this today, that's kind of going to be like what the message is going to be today. At times you're going to think, Pastor Joseph, you're not making any sense whatsoever. Where are you going with this message? You're kind of going to be looking at it going, I think he's been out in the sun too long. He's had too many late nights. I don't know what's kind of going on here. But at the end, I'm just going to flip it for you. And I want you to see something that maybe you've never seen before. And I want you to see, catch a glimpse of our Jesus today that will totally transform your life. Some of you have come into this place today and you've been carrying loads and burdens and you've been crying out to God saying, God, I don't want to go through another year like 2016. God, I don't want to go through another year like 2015. God, I feel like I've been on this treadmill for some time. And today, I really believe that God spoke to me. The one word that God spoke to my heart was breakthrough. And if you've been believing God for a breakthrough for your life, for your finances, for your career, for your family, whatever it is that you've been believing God for, I really believe today's the day. Today is the day. 2017, let's not have another year like last year. It might have been a great year for you. Awesome. But I would believe this, is that even if it was a great year, I tell you, don't settle there. God's got even more. God's got more for you than what there is. So let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 5. And we're going to go from there. Book of Mark, chapter 5 and verse 22. And this is a story probably most of you are familiar with. It starts with this. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. My little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live. Jesus went with him and all the people followed, crowding around him. Right at the very start, we're introduced to this guy by the name of Jairus. The Bible does tell us a little bit about him. He is a significant man in his time, in his town where he was living. He is a man that has wealth. He's a man that's got some money. He has a man that has position. And he comes up to Jesus and he has this problem that's too big for him. Even though he's a significant man, he has a problem that's way too big for him. His little girl is sick. Those of you with kids would understand that sometimes as parents, you can feel a little bit overwhelmed simply because you want to help your child, but you feel powerless to actually do that. I remember there was a time when Zion was younger and Keely came out to us one time. We were in the lounge room and she came out and she said, something's wrong with Zion. So we went in to find out what was going on, and there she was lying on the floor and she was turning all sorts of colors. And she had peeled a little metallic sticker off some Lego and she'd put it in her mouth as kids do, and it had gotten lodged in the back of her throat and she couldn't breathe. It was constricting her breathing and she was choking. And we tried everything that we knew. We held her upside down. We slapped her on the back. We did everything. We dialed 000 and we were asking for them for help, and we were doing everything that they were telling us to do, but nothing seemed to be working. And Zion was just, it just seemed like eternity. We prayed as we were there on the phone. I think I even fasted for those 2 or 3 minutes. And everything that we were doing, it just didn't seem to be working. And then for no apparent reason whatsoever, this sticker just slid out of her throat and just onto the floor. And she just, a minute later, she's up and about, running around, giggling and laughing and waving her hands in the air. Meanwhile, Kath and I are on the floor, just breathing very heavily, just staring at each other, trying to catch our breath. But there's times like that where as parents, you feel very helpless. You feel like this is so overwhelming. This is bigger than what I am. This is too big for me. And this is what Jairus would have been feeling in this situation. His little girl was sick, but he had enough common sense and he didn't have enough pride that would stop him from coming to Jesus and saying, hey, I may be a man of importance, but Jesus, I still need your help. I need your help, Jesus. And he comes to Jesus. And so Jesus, and I love that Jesus is no respecter of whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're significant or insignificant. Jesus said, yeah, I'll go to your house. And so off they go together, and the whole crowd is following them off to Jairus' house. Verse 25 says this, and a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal with many doctors and had over the years spent everything she had to pay them. But she'd gotten no better. In fact, she'd gotten worse. In contrast to Jairus, who is a very important man, here we find a woman who's a very insignificant woman. We don't even know her name. It doesn't really tell us anything about her, but it does tell us one thing, is that we may not know her name, but we know her as somebody else. We know her as the woman with the issue of blood. For 2,000 years, preachers have been preaching about the woman with the issue of blood. Her condition was so big and so immense that she's not known by her name, she's known by her condition. Her issues were so big and so overwhelming, she's not known by who she was as a person, she's known for what she was going through. I don't know if you've ever met people like that before. Sometimes they go through stuff and it gets into their heart and it keeps going on. And I've met people before who have such a brilliant, beautiful, soft heart. And something happens, like an offense comes in, or somebody says something, or somebody does something, and unforgiveness starts to creep into their heart. And before we know it, you just all these little calluses start to form in their heart, and years go by, and this beautiful, soft heart that used to just love people and love God is now bitter and twisted, and they become known as by their condition and by the thing that's overwhelmed them. That's what this woman was going through. She was defined by her condition. Her problem became so big it consumed her identity. That's what this woman was going through. That's what happens when you deal with long-term issues. It consumes you. You know, when she Bible says there that she was dealing with this thing, not just for a couple months. It says that she was dealing with this thing for 12 years. 12 years. I don't know if you've had to deal with sickness for 12 years before. I don't know if you've had to deal with anything for 12 years before. Maybe you've been going around a mountain for a long time. Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe you've been crying out to God for victory in a certain area and you just seem to be hitting your head against the wall saying, God, I come so far, but then I go back 2 steps and I try to take 1 step forward and God, I just feel like I'm taking 5 steps backwards and you keep going around the same thing over and over and over again. This was her condition. When she was first diagnosed, she had money, but the Bible says is that it took over those 12 years, it drained her of all her resources. She had no more money left. So we don't know whether she was married, but regardless of whether she was married or anything else, according to the law of the time, because of her condition, she wasn't actually allowed to touch anybody because she was considered to be unclean. So in other words, this woman, if she had been married, she couldn't even touch her husband. If she had kids, she couldn't hug her kids because the law considered her to be unclean because of the condition that she had, because of the issues that she faced. Her doctors couldn't help her. In fact, it just went from bad to worse. Every time she saw them and they gave a diagnosis, it just seemed to be another one and another one, paid out some more money, and she wasn't getting any answers. In fact, it was actually getting worse and worse. So by the time we find her here in this story, she's sitting alone by the side of the road, broke, all because of a long-term issue that had come along her life. Verse 27 said she had heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I could touch his robe, I will be healed. You know, as you read in the Bible, a lot of the time when Jesus is coming to heal somebody, he's actually looking at them when he heals them. He walks towards them. It's a face-to-face thing. He's standing in front of them when Jesus comes to heal them. But this woman, he didn't come to her. In actual fact, he has his back towards her because the Bible says she came up behind him. So Jesus has his back to her. So you can imagine what's going through this woman's mind. She'd been dealing with this thing for 12 years. She's had this issue for 12 years. And now the one person who had any sort of hope that could deliver her from this condition isn't even giving her the time of day. In fact, he's actually got his back towards her. It's almost like he's ignoring her. And there's times that we can go through where we think, God, are you even listening? God, are you even there? God, you seem to be blessing every single other person except for me. God, when am I going to get that promotion? God, when am I going to get that job? God, when am I going to get that breakthrough that I've been believing for? God, when am I going to have that baby? God, when am I going to have that healing in my body? God, when is it my turn? You seem to be blessing this person and this person and this person, but God, when is it going to be my turn to be able to receive from you the thing that I need to break through into my life? This is the place that she was at because of this long-term condition. I can imagine that, you know, the enemy's there whispering into her ear going, you know, look, you know, he doesn't even care about you. He doesn't even see you. He doesn't even know that you exist. He doesn't even seem to care that you're going through all of this stuff. You're doing it all alone. You're facing these issues that you've got all by yourself, and there's no one around that can actually help you. That's the stuff that would have been going through her head. He's looking at everybody else, and he's not looking at you. But the thing I love about this story, this woman was about to do something that nobody had ever done in the history of the world. She was sitting there by the side of the road. And as she was waiting for Jesus, she had this thought. If I could just go to him, and if I could just touch him, I will be healed. Rather than expecting Jesus to come to me, rather than sitting by the side of the road and thinking, well, Jesus, as you come to me, she says, I'm going to go to him. And I'm going to touch him. I'm not even going to wait for him to touch me. I'm going to go and touch him and I will be healed. This was such a radical thought because no one in the history of the world at this point in time had ever done this before. Everyone else, Jesus had come to them, but this was going to be the first time in history that this woman was thinking this way. She has no precedent for this. There is nothing that she could say, well, it worked for that person, so it's going to work for me. She was the first person to think this thought, hey, I'm going to go to Jesus and I'm going to reach out and I'm going to push through and I'm going to touch and grab hold of him and I'm going to get healed. You never get from God just sitting back being passive. Oh, God, if it's your will, you heal me. God, if it's your will, if that woman had prayed that God, if it's your will prayer, she would have died. But instead, something rose up inside of her that said, God, I'm going to push in. God, I'm going to press through. Jesus, if I can just touch you, I don't care what obstacles are around about me. I'm just going to push in and press in just to be able to touch you. There was a desperation that was on the inside of her that she just had to get to Jesus, that she had to reach him. I wonder how many times that we have that same desperation that comes upon us, or we just let life slide by us. When those problems and those obstacles that we face are there, I wonder how many times that we feel like, God, I just got to get into your presence and I've just got to touch you. Jesus, I'm not going to wait for some miracle to actually fall from heaven into my lap. I'm not going to wait for someone to come and give me an opportunity. God, I'm just going to press into you. God, I'm just going to press into you. I'm going to break through this thing, Jesus, but I'm going to press into you in the process of doing that. I'm not going to sit around for 12 years. You know, where we position ourselves reflects our level of hunger. Where you position yourself reflects your level of hunger. But even more than that, where you position yourself also reflects what you're thinking. It reflects your thoughts. This woman's thoughts set her up for a miracle. She thought and then she went and acted on it. Everything was against her. Society was against her. She was living in a time where she was a woman. And for a woman to be in this society, it was almost like you were seen and not heard. So she had to push through a crowd of men just to get to Jesus. Society was against her. Religion was against her because the rabbinical law said she's not even allowed to touch a priest. Religion was against her. Everything was against her. Her history was against her. She'd gone to doctor after doctor after doctor, and she just kept getting all these bad reports. She had all this history of medical knowledge and everything. Her history was against her. But who knows this, is that sometimes you've got to step over your history in order to get to your destiny. Sometimes you've got to push past those things that have happened to you in order to get into what God has for your life. You've got to step past that stuff. Otherwise, it's just going to tell you who you are and who you were, and it's going to dictate to your life to you. But Jesus is saying, no, if you want to step into your destiny, if you want to step into your breakthrough, you've got to step over your history and put all those things to rest. Despite all these obstacles, she pushes in, she presses in. She wasn't seeking an appointment with Jesus. She wasn't even trying to get his attention. She didn't say hello. She didn't try and instigate a conversation with him. The Bible says she got down on her knees. She crawled up to him and she reached up and touched whatever she could get, and she got the hem of his garment. She wasn't looking for anything other than just a touch from Jesus. This is what it says in verse 29. Immediately the bleeding stopped. She could feel in her body that she'd been healed of that terrible condition. Immediately she was made whole. I love that word because I'm a very impatient person. Immediately, she was made whole. After 12 years of doctors and pain and suffering and issues, after 12 years, immediately, after touching Jesus, she was made whole. Imagine what that means for you. After however long of battling whatever it is that you've been battling, whatever it is you've been believing for, sometimes it just seems to pile up and we think, God, are we ever going to get this breakthrough? What we think could take a lifetime, Jesus can do immediately. What we think could take forever, Jesus is just like, no, just like that. Just like that. Immediately. You know, some of us have been going around this same mountain for a long time. Sometimes there's addictions, sometimes there's issues, sometimes there's hurts, sometimes there's offenses, and we seem to go around and around and around this thing. But what Jesus did here is he did it immediately. And the same Jesus that did that, wow, is the same Jesus that can do it for us today. The same Jesus that was walking with Jairus that day and this woman came and reached out and touched, and the same Jesus that did that back then, Jesus can do in 2017. He's not short of power. He's not short of power. All he needs is for us to press in. All he needs is for us to step forward and reach out our hands. You know, sometimes our breakthrough that we need is just an arm's length away. We think it's going to take forever, but you know what? As long as it took you to get into that thing, it doesn't mean it's going to take you that long to get out of it if Jesus is involved. You may have been addicted to something for such a long time. I tell you what, immediately, God can come and heal. I remember my dad. My dad was a smoker. When he came to Jesus, he had the cigarettes. He was a chain smoker. And he got water baptized, and he's still chain smoking. And he was crying out to God saying, God, I don't want to do this. But this addiction had grabbed hold of him. He tried lots of things to try and get rid of this thing. And then it was just like one day he was in his bedroom. He was praying. He was talking to God. He had his guitar. He was playing his guitar and he was worshiping God. And just like that, the Holy Spirit touched his life. He never touched another cigarette again. Immediately, he was healed. Immediately, he was restored. Immediately. That's a good word for some of you here today, because you think it's going to take a long time. You think just because it's taken a long time and you're tired and you're worn out and you're exhausted from going around that mountain, you think it's going to take a long time. God, I don't know if I have the energy to keep going. But Jesus said, hey, it's not going to take you as long to get out of it as what it did to get into it. His power is here to save and deliver and to set you free, so that that breakthrough that you've been believing for can happen just in an instant. I really believe that. She was healed immediately, just one touch from Jesus. Verse 30 says this: Jesus realized all at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and he asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd. They're pressing in around you. How can you ask who touched me? Jesus asked, who touched me? He was surrounded by his closest friends. He was surrounded by those who would call themselves his disciples. Yet none of them knew what he was talking about. He was surrounded by people who had said, yeah, I know Jesus, he's my bestie. But they had never experienced a touch from Jesus. They'd never drawn from him that what they needed. They'd never experienced what it is to actually walk in breakthrough. And yet they were the ones who were close to him. You know why? Because they'd gotten too familiar with just hanging around Jesus. Sometimes we can get like that with church. We think, oh, yeah, it's church. I'll just rock up, 10:35. You know, I'll just come in and we can get very familiar. Oh, I don't really like the praise songs because they're too loud. You know, the young guys are going to do their thing up the front. I'll come in maybe towards the end of the worship just because, you know, it's more my thing. You know, the slower, softer kind of music. You know, I'll come in with that. And, you know, oh, so-and-so's preaching today. Oh, they're probably not my favorite sort of preacher. I don't like their style. So I'm going to wait for so-and-so to come. I'm just going to stay home today. You know, we make it, we get too familiar with Jesus. But wherever Jesus is, there needs to be this desperation that rises up inside of us that said, God, if you're going to be there, so am I. God, in fact, I'm actually going to be there early. God, because I don't want to miss a single thing. Maybe Jesus, you're going to do something in the prayer meeting there before church. I don't want to miss a single thing that you're doing, Jesus, because wherever you are, that's where I want to be. His disciples had gotten too familiar. They were just busy arguing about who was going to sit on his left-hand side and who was going to sit on his right-hand side. Meanwhile, while they're doing that, this woman reaches up and just touches and gets from God what she needs for her breakthrough while they're busy arguing over who's great. Verse 32 says this, but he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him, told him what she had done. And he said to her, this has to be the most amazing words, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. It's over. It's over. Imagine Jesus saying that to you. You know the things that you've been crying out for? You know that long, dry season that you've been walking through? You know those questions that you've had in your heart? That time has come to an end. That season is over. What he's saying to her is now it's time to step into a brand new season. This is what 2017 can be for us. Step into a brand new season. Don't take from the past and just drag it into this year, but say, God, this year, something fresh, something new from you. God, this year, I want to be closer to you. I want to draw closer to you, God. God, I want to spend that time in your presence. God, I don't want to go through what I've been through in the past, but God, I'm just going to know that this is going to be a year of victory for me. What this woman experienced is what we can experience. I'm going to flip this thing in just a minute. Verse 35 says this, while he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now, but Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion and the weeping and the wailing. He went inside and he asked, why all this commotion? Why all this weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep. The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave. He took the girl's father and mother and three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, little girl, get up. And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up, walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Let me show you what Jesus showed me out of this scripture. Sometimes when we read Mark 5, we treat it as two different stories. We think there's the story here of Jairus who has a little girl who's sick and Jesus is on his way to go and pray for her and she dies. And then there's the story of the woman with the issue of blood. But it's actually one story. It's not two. It's not like this woman interrupted Jesus on his way to go and do something. It's not like two different events. This is one event that took place. We perceive it as an interruption, but it wasn't. It was part of God's plan to show something to us, which I believe is something that is so relevant in 2017 than ever, ever before. At the start of the story, both of them are dying. The older woman is dying and the younger girl is dying. Both of them are dying. One was a young girl. One was a more mature woman. We don't know her age, but she was a more mature woman. Both of them were in crisis. Both of them were in that situation. One, Jesus was going towards. The other one, Jesus was leaving and moving away from. The woman, she was sick for 12 years. The year she got diagnosed was the year the little girl was born. Jesus isn't telling a story about a woman and a little girl. He's telling a story about generations. He's telling a story about generations. This one was 12 years old. This one was 12 years sick. It's two generations. There's a younger generation that's dying. that people look on in the world today and they say, oh, that generation is actually dead to God. That generation is actually dead to the things. Oh, they're a godless generation. They look at that younger generation and they say, well, yeah, they're just so self-absorbed. There's nothing in them. They're dead to the things of God. Attendance in churches is declining with the younger generation. They speak out stats like that and they look on and they say that, yeah, that younger generation is dead. And the older generation are so busy dealing with their issues and so busy dealing with all the things and the baggage that they've accumulated over the years that they're dying and their vision and their strength and their vitality is being sucked away from them. And the same Jesus that healed this generation over here with just one touch is the same Jesus that can heal this generation over here with just one touch. To the younger generation, people say that they're dead and they're dying and there's nothing good that can come from them. They're wailing and moaning like they did in Jairus's home. But Jesus walks up to them and says, hey, they're not dead, they're just asleep. And to the sleeping generation, Jesus reaches out his hand and he touches that generation and he says, arise. And life starts to flow back in again. The same Jesus that touched this generation is the same Jesus over here where his power there and they just had to push forward all those issues, all those obstacles, all those things that were holding them back. As they pushed forward and reached out their hand, they experienced the power of God flowing through their bodies and all those things just melted away. And the same Jesus that did that is the same Jesus that can restore. The same Jesus that healed is the same Jesus that can resurrect. That's the Jesus that you and I serve today. That's the Jesus that you and I serve. That's what this story is about. I believe this is that God is doing something in our hearts. There's an urgency. God is dwelling. God is moving. There's a stirring that's taking place. And I honestly believe this, that our time is very short. And there's a sense of urgency to the older generation. If you're over 30 in this place, it's time to let go of those issues of life. It's time to stop focusing on how am I going to do this and how am I going to do that and how am I going to pay for this and what's going on there and this is what's happening in my body. It's time to let go of those things. The Bible says you can worry about those things all you like, but it doesn't add anything to your life whatsoever. He wants us to let go of those things. The only way we can let go is to reach out and touch Him. To push past everything that would hinder us, to push past everything that would stop us and reach out and touch Jesus. To the younger generation, he's saying sometimes people have got around you and said things to you and you've listened to their words and those dreams that have been on the inside of you have died off. But he's saying, no, this is the time to rise up. This is the time to rise up, not to listen to the words of those around about you and the naysayers that say, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. You can't say that. You can't go to those places. You can't do those things and rise up under the power of the Holy Spirit and speak out and begin to move those toes and wiggle those toes and get off that bed and start to move forward in the power of Jesus. That's what God's saying to us today. Regardless of which generation you find yourself in, the same Jesus that can restore one can resurrect the other. Regardless of where you find yourself today, regardless of how many times you've gone around the mountain, regardless of whether you think the things and the dreams in your life have died off, Jesus can just breathe life back into those things one more time. One more time. And I'm wondering here in this place today, as the team come, I'm wondering whether we're just going to have some worship time. Is that okay? And I really want to create some space right now where you can just reach out and touch Jesus. Do whatever you need to do. Reach out, speak to Him, sing to Him, do whatever it is, but be able to reach out and touch Jesus in His presence. The verse that God gave me for myself for this year is James 4, verse 8. It simply says this, draw close to God and He will draw close to you. That's my conviction. That's my prayer for me this year, but I pray it's yours as well. Draw close to God and He will draw close to you.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.